News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, by the way, if you find yourself driving outside of the broad range of our AM-FM capability here at WVNN, don't matter. It don't matter at all. Just you can take us on vacation with you. It doesn't matter where in the world you are, as a matter of fact. You can be on a cruise ship and just pick us up. As long as you've got connectivity to the internet, all you got to do is go to our website, rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. Click on the Listen Live tab, and no matter where you is, there we is, right there with you. That's why we got people listening all over the place right now, multiple states. We got our buddy Jerome in Rome. We got Jeff in Indiana. We got folks up in Virginia, Tennessee, down in South Alabama, Florida, Texas, Mississippi, Louisiana was one. Anyway, they're all over the place. Bunch of right side ruffians everywhere you look, but that's because you can stream it online. So just know that you can do that, rightsideradio.org. Hey, before we get into the triple dipper for the day, I got some breaking news. A trial that I truthfully have not followed in great detail, but in Minneapolis just now, former police officer Kim Potter has been found guilty on both counts of manslaughter upon which she was charged. Interesting case. And you know, I'll be honest with you, I'm a little surprised because there were some evidentiary matters in her favor that I thought were pretty, you know, hard to miss. And apparently they weren't missed, but they were just considered not to be overwhelming or to be presiding evidence, I guess. By the way, manslaughter, if you're not familiar, it's basically the killing of another human being without what they call malice aforethought. Means you didn't plan it, you didn't have intent, but you had some otherwise circumstances that caused you to wrongfully take someone else's life. So manslaughter in this case, she was convicted on two counts. I'm not sure what Minnesota law is in this regard, but in Minnesota it was first and second degree, two counts, first degree and second degree. So here's the deal. If you're not familiar, Kim Potter, a police officer with 26 years of experience, I believe, she was part of a traffic stop. Became a very racially charged issue because she's white and the decedent the suspect she pulled over named Dante Wright is black. There was some form of scuffle. I don't recall the details, but at some point in the body cam video, I guess it was, you can hear her yell, "I will tase you." And then she yells, "Taser, taser, taser," which is what they're trained to do when they pull the taser, just like, you know, a soldier's trained to yell grenade when they throw the grenade. Well, she yells, "Taser, taser, taser," except that she had grabbed her pistol and she wound up pulling the trigger on her firearm and killed Dante Wright. The fact that she yelled "taser, taser, taser" to me would surely indicate that she was not intending to take his life. But the jury found that she was guilty of manslaughter. She can right now face a maximum sentence of 15 years for the first charge and another maximum of 10 years for the second charge. Her legal team had asked that she remain out on bond, especially during the Christmas season. The judge has declined, and she has been remanded into custody and will be going to jail pending whatever appeal options are available to her, I'm sure. Her attorneys are likely to file a notice of appeal here very soon. That's very customary, and I suspect it's going to happen. Either way, a former police officer in a racially charged matter that became one of those lightning rod cases around the nation, a little bit less so than some of the others, but in this case, it was still very active. But, you know, one of the things that I find, and, you know, the jury has spoken. The jury heard the evidence. I didn't. So the jury heard the evidence. Doesn't matter what I see in the press. What they saw in the courtroom is what mattered. And they've done their job. And I agree with the judge. Apparently the judge praised the jurors as being heroes of the judicial system. And it's true. Those members of the jury sat there and heard everything. They deliberated for about 27 hours total time. And they have now made their verdict known. That being said, I think it's fair to point out that in the three major cases that were seen as being, you know, lightning rod cases around the nation, you, of course, had the Kyle Rittenhouse case up in Wisconsin. You had the Ahmaud Arbery killing in Georgia. And now this one, the Dante Wright killing by former officer Kim Potter in Minnesota. And there was a whole lot of talk by the pundits about how, oh, the whites are going to win because, you know, white privilege and everything else. And I would like to point out, justice has been served in all three cases. One of those, the person who was accused of privilege was found innocent, Kyle Rittenhouse. In the other two, though, no. In the other two, they were considered to be wrongful killings, whether murder or manslaughter. And all of you who prejudged whether or not a jury could hear this without, you know, white privilege and everything else being, go ahead and take a deep swallow of justice there, all right? Because it didn't come out the way the race baiters wanted it to. Because the race baiters don't look for justice, they look for racial opportunities. In this case, Kim Potter, found guilty of manslaughter. She is going to jail pending appeal. We'll see how it plays out on the streets. I hope it stays calm. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back with a whole lot more dropping into the triple dipper, Mandate Madness. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, by the way, got to tell you about Otter Creek Farm because, man, that place is so cool. I love going out there. Charlene and I go out there. We eat dinner out there. We stayed overnight out there. I've gone shooting out there many times. And all I'm saying is this, you got to check it out. I mean, literally. I mean, if you're into wing shooting, like hunting pheasant and quail, or you just want to get started, they've got the guides, the guns, the dogs, all the hundreds of manicured acres. They've got a great place for that. They're known throughout the United States as a wing shooting destination. However, they've got such primo facilities. I mean, I'm talking like, you know, the infinity pool and the lake with the gazebo by it. And they've got, you know, all of the beautiful dining facilities and just, oh my gosh. Anyway, the bottom line is this, it's become a wedding destination, a place for corporate retreats. You can just go out there and stay overnight and just enjoy the place if you want to. Check it out. Their website is OtterCreekFarmstead.com. That's OtterCreekFarmstead.com. And you'll pretty quickly realize why they've been featured in Garden and Gun magazine, or for that matter, why Donald Trump Jr. came and stayed there himself for a hunt not long ago. All right, listen. So my next section, I'm getting in the triple dipper here. Mandate madness. All right, mandate madness. There's things happening right now in mandate world. And I think we need to keep tabs on this because to me, there's not many things that are bigger stories right now than what the government is trying to do to reach into our personal lives and create mandated, you know, opportunities for government instructions to be received and acted upon. That's just, it's just like, it's like, wow, could you just be more onerous, Mr. Government? I'll be honest with you, I'm not anti-vax. In fact, what's interesting is I got an article here that I pulled off the Washington Examiner this morning. It actually came out. It was published this morning. No, yesterday afternoon. It was published yesterday afternoon at 5, right as I was getting off the air. And he says almost exactly the same thing I said. I say it quite often on the show. I am not anti-vax. What I firmly believe in is that if science has provided you an opportunity to lessen the impacts of the coronavirus or any other illness for that matter on your life, then you should review that. You should consider it as an option. You should consult with your own healthcare provider, and you should take advantage of that to the fullest extent that you desire to do so. I am not anti-vax. However, I am anti-mandate. I am anti the idea that a government can tell you you're not allowed to work, you're not allowed to travel, you're not allowed to go to school, you're not allowed to freely assemble, you're not allowed to worship in your church, you're not allowed to open your business. I am absolutely 100% against the level of overreach that we've seen for the last year and a half to 2 years. It's been unconscionable. And by the way, it's not all President Biden. Your own Republicans has too often fallen into the ooh, we better do something category. It's not always necessary for you to do something. Sometimes the role of a leader is to provide the opportunities and encourage folks to take part in those and then make their own choices. And you may find, by the way, that when you don't mandate, they're more apt to to do so and less resistant to it. I think the mandates have created far more vaccine resistance, if you will. I feel like I just used a leftist term. But anyway, the bottom line is this. I think the mandates have made it worse. Story on the Washington Examiner, a guy named Tim Carney writes, he says, you know, a contrarian idea is this, that not all good things should be mandatory. Perfectly put. He says the exact same thing, that he is not anti-vax. However, did you know? Did you know? I did not know this. But you can check it out. You can go online, go to Merriam-Webster's Dictionary, and you can type in the term anti-vaxxer. Anti-vaxxer. Anti-V-A-X-X-E-R. Anti-vaxxer. An anti-vaxxer is not necessarily one who just says no. An anti-vaxxer is now defined by Merriam-Webster, who apparently has decided to start selling themselves to the highest bidder. It includes a person who opposes regulations mandating vaccination. A person who opposes regulations mandating vaccination. So you're an anti-vaxxer if you're not pro-mandate, is what it says there. Well, then call me an anti-vaxxer then, I guess. But all said and done, he goes on to make the great points that there's a million reasons to oppose requiring something that is good, in his words. He says one is that enforcement could end up being very intrusive or violent. Another is an element of humility, the very idea that what you're mandating might not in the end turn out to be as good as you thought it was. And then also he says there's the idea that government owes its adult citizens the opportunity to be treated like adults. And he also goes on to say what I just said a moment ago, that mandates can actually stoke more resistance. So let me just remind y'all, those of you who are like, well, we've mandated polio vaccines and we've mandated difference, all right? Totally different, apples and oranges. It was not rushed through. It did not become something that was done in such a way as to lose your job or prohibit you from being able to participate in society or to lose, you know, any other level of civil liberties. Totally different. However, let me point out this. The government's choices regarding your health have not always played out perfectly. My own father passed away in 2013 from complications related to Agent Orange exposure in Vietnam. He had lived with decreased kidney function for 40 years prior to it finally catching up to him to the point that his body couldn't sustain. All said and done, Agent Orange was a great idea when the government first had it back in the late 60s, wasn't it? It was wonderful. It was going to save the war. We're going to defoliate those jungles and find the bad guys. Never mind what it did to the troops who were experiencing that carcinogen when it came flooding down on top of them, like my dad. Or how about the fact that I spent a year in Afghanistan being told every Monday was Mefloquin Monday. Mefloquin Monday! Take your Mefloquin. Mefloquin, if you're not familiar, was a form of anti-malarial treatment. Afghanistan being a country from which malaria is prevalent, I dutifully took my Mefloquin every Monday. Lots of side effects to Mefloquin. I could go on and on about the side effects that I experienced. What I also found out soon thereafter that so many people had adverse side effects that the government that thought it was a great idea when they gave it to us later came back and said, you know, we shouldn't have done that for a year. That was supposed to be a short-term prescription. And oh, by the way, we're going to stop prescribing it now because we're seeing lots and lots of complications. And so about a year or two after I was in Afghanistan, the government stopped issuing Mefloquin. But it was a great idea when they first gave it to me. All I'm saying is mandates may look great. Mandates may not be the thing. But here's the thing, mandate madness. Here's a couple things you need to know. This is a big doings right here. So the Supreme Court has just announced, and I'm actually not seeing a whole lot of news about this. I mean, this is kind of weird. So I'm looking at this one from Bloomberg Law. Bloomberg Law is reporting the Supreme Court of the United States is going to hold a special session regarding Biden's vaccine rules on January the 7th. Literally, that's called an expedited session. They're meeting on an expedited basis, a special session on an expedited basis on President Joe Biden's COVID-19 shots or test rules for large employers and the separate vaccine mandate for healthcare. You know, all right, so remember again, we got multiple versions of mandates, right? All different kinds. All God's children got a mandate. But the ones that are on this particular expedited special session are the OSHA mandate, which is the one for private employers that have 100 or more employees, or the medical facilities, medical personnel mandates. All right, that being said, The justices will hear both cases at a special January 7th session, weighing whether or not to let the rules take effect in the face of a barrage of legal challenges. So what's happening is this. If you remember, several of these have already been, the legal term is stayed. They've been enjoined at the lower federal court level, meaning that the lower court said, all right, listen, we're going to hear this case. It's going to take a while. But while we're waiting to get the case all the way through to the merits of it at trial, everything stops. You cannot enforce these mandates while we're in the trial proceedings. Government, if you win, then you can do the mandates. That's called an injunction. They've been enjoined from pursuing it for now. One of those, and I think it was the OSHA mandate. Yeah, it was. It was the OSHA mandate, I believe. One of those, an appellate court overturned the lower court and allowed the mandate to get back into effect. Okay, now we got all kinds of split decisions. We got basically incongruent rulings at lower court levels. So the Supreme Court is saying, fine, we'll hear you. The Supreme Court's going to decide not the full merits of the case, is my understanding. They're going to decide whether or not to allow for injunctions to stand at all lower court proceedings until they have worked themselves through to a final resolution at the lower court, at which point they're still going to be appealed up. You know they are. So, folks, I'm just telling you, this is a big deal. Those of you that are worried about that OSHA mandate and wondering what's going to happen, well, on January 7th, the Supreme Court of the United States is going to decide whether or not we can put that sucker on hold and keep it at bay for a while. In the meantime, mandate madness, number one on the Triple Dipper. Did you see... It's like every time I turn around, there's another mandate. I didn't even see this one. How did I miss this? The Epoch Times is reporting. Epoch Times is reporting as of 2 days ago. 24 states, including Alabama, by the way, 24 states have now filed suit against the Biden administration, brand new lawsuit, regarding the mandates for vaccinations in all Head Start programs nationwide. I didn't see that one. So if you're not familiar, Head Start is a federally funded early education program, like a preschool, kindergarten kind of thing. And it's federally funded, so that means obviously they think they can go ahead and mandate it. Yay! Hey, look, I think federal dollars touch it. Mandate! So attorney generals from 24 states have filed a lawsuit against the Biden administration, according to the Epoch Times, challenging COVID-19 vaccine mandates for early education staff and mask mandates for young children. Louisiana's attorney general, Jeff Landry, is the one who filed the suit. However, Alabama is one of the 24 states named in it, and our attorney general's office is participating. This is basically a mandate that offers no alternatives for vaccinations. And for those granted exemptions, funds are not provided to do the testing. So basically, and this is not a situation, by the way, you can do a lot of remote work. If the kids are there, you have to be there. But what they're saying is going to happen is they're afraid that many, many of these Head Start programs will wind up shutting down for lack of personnel. And that's going to be a blow to some of those communities. All right, Copper, run us to a break. I am neck deep in the first round of the Triple Dipper. When I get back, Did you know that there are still considerations about impacting your ability for travel with a vaccine passport? Or did you hear the one about the guy from New York running a bill up in New York State to create concentration camps? Oh, yeah. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.